morning. As I've been saying every week, it is a beautiful day to worship the Lord, and is not today a beautiful day outside? We are, for those of you at home, it's been snowing hard here all morning, and it is truly beautiful outside the window, but you should know that our numbers have shifted so that we are less in the sanctuary today and more of you gathered at home. So for the first time in a little while, the at-home audience is larger than the in-sanctuary audience. But welcome to you at home. We're glad that you are comfy and warm. Welcome to you here in the sanctuary. We pray that you will be comfy and warm here as well as we worship the Lord together. It is truly good to be able to worship the Lord. Now, let me explain a couple of things. One is we are going to be sharing the Lord's Supper. So if you are at home, please take the time to gather your bread and your juice or wine so that you can share the Lord's Supper with us. For those of us here, we'll be using the pre-prepared communion supplies that we have. Secondly, our brother Tom Van Milligan is preaching for us this morning. However, Tom had a positive COVID test yesterday, so you know how it is with that. He can't come. But he was... You also know in these days now, we know how to go to Plan B, and Plan B, he has pre-recorded the sermon for us. So very graciously, last night, pre-recorded the sermon so that we can enjoy it this morning. So we'll be doing that, and for those of you at home, you probably won't even notice a change. And then lastly, we'd just like to remind you that it's the first Sunday of Advent, and we are glad to be able to worship in Advent together in this way, as we remember the coming of our Lord Jesus, the advent of Lord Jesus. Next Sunday night, we will be lighting up the Christmas tree outside. We decided to wait into December this year. So we'll be inviting the neighbors to light up the tree next week in the evening. So there's some invitation cards for you to take so that you can hand out to other people as well. So make sure you grab those on the way out. Let's begin with this call to worship from God himself. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. Let's worship the Lord together.
Good morning. This Advent, we're invited to come to Jesus and know his gifts. Today, the Advent theme is hope. Let's prepare for the gift with these words spoken responsively.
Come down, O Lord, tear open the heavens and come down. We wait.
We wait
in hope.
We wait for God to be revealed. We wait for God to tear open the heavens and come down.
From ages past, no ear has heard, no eye has seen any power besides God who works for the reconciliation of the whole world.
And so we wait with hope for God to come down.
So listen while we sing a new song for the first Advent of hope. Please stand and let's continue our worship in song.
the long expected Jesus, born to set my people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find more rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, O Lord, be her good.
Thank you.
Psalm 130, verse 5 reads, "Wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning."
Psalm 62, 5-6. "I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning." I'll do that again. Psalm 62, 5-6. "Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken." Psalm 62, 5-6. With this hope, let us pray.
Almighty God, the giver of life and forgiver of sins, we come to you now with hope. Hope because you always love us, even though at times it seems like we have neglected you. Hope because you do not hold our sins against us, but instead offer your grace. Hope gives us the courage to trust you in a world filled with darkness. Help us, Lord, to confess our sins, remembering that your Son died for our sins so that we might be reconciled to you. In Christ's name, listen to our silent prayers. Thank you, Father, for your immeasurable gift. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
God, our kind and loving Savior, God, has stepped in and saved us. Our Savior Jesus poured out his life completely. His gift has restored our relationship with God and given us back our lives. And there is more life to come. An eternity of life. That is our sure and certain hope.
Good morning, Fellowship Church. It's evening here. I turn this around, you can see the dark outside. We're in the beginning of Advent, and Advent means coming, and I'm not coming because I have received a positive COVID test. I'm feeling fine. I'm currently asymptomatic, but when we returned across the border from the U.S., we had to both get tested for COVID, and my test returned as positive. We're still hopeful that perhaps the next test will be negative, but for now, it means I can't be with you. Nevertheless, I would like to lead us in reaching into God's word this first Sunday of Advent. I'm wondering if you would pray with me. Lord God, thank you for giving us together this time, which we celebrate not only with each other in this congregation, but also online with many brothers and sisters, and also with the whole church, both now and for centuries, making room for Christ's presence in our hearts and in our minds and among us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will show us what it means to welcome Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen. This Sunday in Advent, we are looking at the four traditional words of Advent, which are hope, peace, joy, and love, perhaps in a different order. And we are seeking to understand the coming of Jesus' kingdom in terms of the prophetic shape of the kingdom of David, the kingship of David. So we're going to look at these four words through the lens of David's life in order to give us some sense of what Israel was anticipating when they thought of their coming Messiah as a fulfillment of the promise that there would be an heir to David on the throne of Israel. So this is a Psalm 132, probably a Psalm of Solomon. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his self-denial. He swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jer. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool, saying, Arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with your righteousness. May your faithful people sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject your anointed one. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling, saying, This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her faithful people will ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn grow for David and set up a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but his head will be adorned with a radiant crown. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Advent has traditionally directed us to these four big words: hope, peace, joy, and love. They're short words, but they're big. You can imagine someone standing on a pulpit, standing on a speaker's platform, and just raising their fist and shouting, hope! And that would be enough, perhaps, to inspire a crowd. They're words that are full of meaning and significance. But they can also be very abstract. That is, they can be ideas, they can be easy to say. But we might all be filling them with our own meaning. And sometimes they can even be loaded words. And I think sometimes when we say big abstract words, we have to be careful that we're not using a kind of twisted logic that allows us to coerce people into conformity or into serving an agenda that is clothed with these big abstract words like love and peace and understanding and justice and harmony, when in fact the content of those things is suspicious. So in this Advent, we don't want to be Christians, followers of Jesus, who just spout big words. And we certainly don't want to be followers of Jesus who use big words, noble words, to clothe sinister objectives and agendas. So we're looking at the life of David to get a sense of what Israel, the nation of Israel, was thinking when they started imagining the Messiah who was coming. Because David himself received a promise that one of his descendants would be on the throne, and Israel knew this promise. Israel held on to this promise. And so as the history of Israel unfolds, and it seems like just an unending succession of scoundrels leading the people of God, nevertheless, they held in the back of their mind this promise that God said that if there was a righteous descendant of David, if they kept covenant with God, if they held up their end of the bargain, the deal, in this relationship between the king of God's people and God, then God would allow the descendants of David to reign on the throne of Israel in Jerusalem forever. So when Israel anticipates the Messiah, they're always reaching back to their memory of David. They're always remembering the stories of David. What kind of a person was he? How did he embody God-sized words? And so this first word that we have this Advent, which is hope, we need to see that, or we're being invited to see that in the life of David. And the first thing that we need to do is we need to sift out a couple of senses of the word hope that might not be helpful. And one of those senses is wishful. That is, we don't really know what's going to happen, but we have our hopes. We don't know what we're getting for Christmas, but we hope we're getting a new bicycle, or we hope we're getting a piece of jewelry, or that new musical instrument, or that piece of gadgetry that we just saw recently. In English, hoping is always kind of couched in, it might happen, it might not happen. And biblical hope is always different from that. And I take, for my direction in how we understand hope, I take James, the Apostle James. And he said, when we pray, we shouldn't pray doubting. That is, if we're not sure that something is God's will, we shouldn't ask for it. And sometimes that sets up a kind of a weird thing in our head, and we say, well, why are we asking God for something that we know we're going to get? But that is precisely the object of prayer, that the purpose of prayer, that we learn to tune our hearts, as the song says, tune our hearts in prayer with God, so that the Holy Spirit is willing in us what God the Father and God the Son want. So there's kind of a unity, a purpose. We don't know sometimes whose idea it was, but it seems clear to us that this longing that we have is God's will. And so it creates in us not a, well, I might get it, I might not get it. It actually creates the opposite. It creates a certainty within us that we might not know when God is going to do this, but we know that it's God's will. And so when we hear, for instance, some of the words of prophecy in Isaiah, and we are stirred by the beauty of pictures and images of those prophecies, when we hear the prophecies of Revelation, there's something in us that resonates and knows that this indeed is the will of God. And sometimes we wonder why we have to wait so long for the will of God to be accomplished, and yet we know it's God's will. So hope is that kind of thing where I know this is God's will. I feel it in my bones. The Holy Spirit testifies to me that this really is something of God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, because I know we can fool ourselves, we can work ourselves up. But first of all, we need to say this, that hope is not wishful. It's not, it might not. Hope is confident. And secondly, hope is not always positive. I don't know, I don't know who sang it, but there's this song about high hopes and an ant having hope that, you know what, he's going to take down this rubber tree. And hope in, especially in North America, is often associated with optimism, that sort of positivity, that we can do this, and we're going to do this, or God can do this, and he's going to do it. Hope in the biblical story, and as it grabs people, is often a very painful experience. And this psalm starts right there. It says, Lord, we want you to remember all of David's suffering as this hope took hold of him. And his hope was precisely this, that there would be a house for God. This hope that David had, that God would not be housed in a tent or in a barn, that the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized so much of who God was to Israel, that Ark, which contained the tablets of the law, that in which God was sensed to be present between these images of angels, that this ark would have a proper home that would symbolize how important God was to his people and how important his presence was to his people. So this hope, this God-sized and God-placed longing is probably better described as an agony. David knows it's God's will. And now he's in this period of waiting and wondering, when is God's will going to happen? One of the ways that Paul talks about hope is he says, nobody hopes for what they already have. So hope is always couched in absence. It reminds us of what isn't here yet. And then he says in another passage, if what we hope for is contained in this life, we of all people are the most miserable. That is, the hope that God has placed in the heart of his people through following Jesus, through being open to the Holy Spirit, is a hope that goes beyond even this life. And so it makes this life kind of, you know, not like, oh, we hate this life and this world is terrible and everything about it is rotten. But it does create in us kind of longing and a hunger and a restlessness. When are we going to see our hope realized? This hope that is in us for everything that the coming of Jesus represents, all of the longings, dear desire of every nation, hope of every longing heart, we sing in Advent. So these are the two things that I want us to bear in mind. as we listen to this psalm. First, hope is really, it's a God-placed confidence, and it is unrealized. And so it creates a longing, it creates a pain, an agony. And that's the way this psalm starts. Remember his suffering. Remember the oath that he made. He devoted his being. He said, I'm not going to rest. And there's a bit of hyperbole in this psalm. I'm not going to go home. I'm not going to go to bed until I find a place for Yahweh, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. And so now let's just think for a minute about the content of David's hope. First of all, it was this hope that he had for a house for God was never understood as an actual address or a containment, a box for God. Solomon, who I think probably wrote this psalm because there are quotations in this psalm from the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And there are notes throughout these psalms of ascent, Psalm 120 to 134, that hint at Solomon. So Solomon, in dedicating the temple, said, we know, God, that you do not dwell in a building that we made. We can't make a house for you. You can make a house for us. You could make a house for yourself, but we can't make a house for you. So this longing that David has is not in a simplistic or a wave that would seem foreign to us. It's not a desire to contain God, to put him in a box. But instead, it becomes a focal point for who Israel is as God's people. And in Solomon's prayer, there's this unfolding sense that the house of God is kind of the middle of the whole world. That is, all nations are going to stream to it. They're going to know that the reason this building exists is because there's a people who know the living God and want to order their lives around him. And they see what a difference that makes. This is Solomon's prayer. And this hope that David has, it's bigger than him. David both receives this longing, and then God tells him, but you can't do it. Your hands are too bloody, as the word comes, I believe, through Samuel. It is not for you to complete this dream. It's for your son to complete this dream. This sign of everything that God is and his presence among his people is a dream that's bigger than David, and it's a dream that his son is going to carry out. One of the words that we hear in the season of Advent is Emmanuel, which is a Hebrew word that we take from the prophet Isaiah, which means God with us, or another way of translating it, since El is at the back, is the with us God. The nature of God is to be with us. So when we're thinking about God, it's not just he happens to be with us, but it's his nature to be with us. He's the with us God. And so we see in Jesus Christ, that he himself is what the temple stands for. Jesus is the sign that God is with his people. And Jesus is the one whose life is overcome with this same hope. In the New Testament, the writers of the Gospels, when they see Jesus cleansing the temple, they remember a word of the Old Testament where it said that zeal for your house will consume me. That is, I'll be so filled with longing to have the world understand what this building represents that it will eat me up. Very similarly to what we hear David himself describing, I can't do anything else but devote myself to this picture of God's presence among us. So Advent is a time of hope. So first of all, it's a time to remember that David's God-sized hope and his God-placed hope was fulfilled in Jesus. That is, the desire that he had for a sign that God is truly among his people, that God dwells among his people, that he's not a God who is far off and indifferent to what happens here on earth, but he's present. He cares. That hope, that longing is fulfilled in Christ. And Advent is also a time to let the same longing that was in David and in Christ capture us. To let it be that painful hope, that sense, that certainty that we have, that we know God is going to do it. We know that the work he started in Jesus is going to be completed. We have this Holy Spirit testifying in us. Paul calls it a down payment. That is, he also calls us and Christ the first fruits, the beginning. We know, the Spirit tells us, it's going to happen. And yet, we find ourselves crying with the psalmist, how long before this is accomplished? How long do we and the world have to suffer waiting for this hope to be realized? And so Advent is a time to create that space in us. Now, Pastor Mark encouraged us over the last few weeks to consider Colossians and to really ask ourselves what we're expecting for Christmas. And sometimes I think, as a people of God, our own expectation is simply far too small. I look at myself and I sometimes think I would be satisfied just to make it to retirement financially, and to be able to say, okay, I've got enough money, I can start taking my pension, and I'll be fine. And God says to me, is that really the dream that the Holy Spirit has and wants me to share in? So Advent is the middle of a time in which, you know, our culture clearly says that we should want things. And God says to us, the wanting isn't the wrong thing. It's wanting small things. It's wanting things that are not fully God-sized. And so we're being invited this Advent to hope, to let hope carve a painful space in us, an ache, a place that only the kingdom, only God's presence can fill. Only his goodness, his justice, and his peace can fill. And I used to think that those were the two signs of Advent, the two directions, back toward Jesus' first coming and forward toward his coming again. But it just struck me this week as I was preparing for this message that there's a third sense of Advent, and that is the coming of Jesus into our lives as we follow him and as his Spirit, the Spirit that took hold of Jesus, that shaped his heart and mind, takes hold of us and shapes our hearts and minds, so that we ourselves become signs of the presence of God. This psalm talks not only in terms of what we would consider religious things, like religious buildings, but in verse 15, God says, "I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food." So there's always a sense that we are signs. We are meant to be signs of hope. That is, our lives, as we look after the poor, as we shape lives of joy within us and around us, as we share the goodness of God and the character of God, our lives are signs of what is to come. Our lives are pictures of hope. And as we live into this certainty that, yeah, life isn't fair now, but I'm going to be fair. Life isn't all joy and happiness now, but I'm going to sow joy. I'm going to be a source of happiness. Not everyone is loving in the world, but I'm going to be loving because I know this is the shape of things to come. That is what the Holy Spirit has told me Jesus means. He was raised. And those who believe in him are raised with him. We have a new life now that points towards the reality of everything that Jesus means, the kingdom of God. I'm looking forward to this Advent. It feels bigger this year. I hope that you also are ready for a really big Advent. Will you pray with me? Lord God, thank you that Jesus made it clear that when he thought of your temple, he thought of a human place for your Spirit to dwell. And that his death and resurrection have made us into a temple, together and individually. We ask, Lord, that your hope may captivate us, that your Spirit may sustain us through the pain of that hope, that we ourselves may be signs of everything you intend to do. And we pray, Lord, that you will sustain us and that you will do it quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.
I come with joy, a child of God, forgiven, loved, and redeemed.
I come with Christians far and near to find us all are fed. The new community of love in Christ's communion bread. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share, each proud division ends. The love that made us makes us one, and strangers now are friends. Together met, together bound by all that God has done, we'll go with joy to give the world the love.
Come, thou long-expected Jesus, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Our loving God, we come before you with these words in our hearts, with this hope in our minds, with this longing in our beings, the desire for your gracious kingdom, for the long-expected King. We enter this Advent season with renewed hope of your love and your faithfulness in our lives. Bless us as we walk through this season of expectation, and may it inspire us to be a joy and bring joy to every longing heart. Lord, thank you for our church and blessing us in this neighborhood. Thanks for Pastor Mark and for equipping him to serve in this community. And we celebrate again the milestone of his ordination last week and pray that you will continue to use him to build your kingdom in this place. Thank you for Pastor Tom, who spoke this morning, and bless him as he seeks to serve you in new and exciting ways. Thank you for our elders and deacons, for the leaders of various groups in this church, and for guiding them, and we pray that you will strengthen them and help them to lead us as a community of faith. Lord, bless our community that we may be a blessing in this place. We pray for those who are sick or unwell, for those that are struggling with loneliness or pressures at work or home, for those who have financial difficulties, and those that just can't seem to find enough energy to even face another day. Be with them, we pray. Give them the hope of Advent and bless them. We pray especially for Alice, for Sybil, for Teresa, for Angela, and others, God, who we don't name today, but you know who they are, and for others that may be even on our hearts and minds. We pray for them. Wrap your loving arms around them. Provide healing, comfort, security, and above all, hope for each and every day. Thank you for Justin, who has served as our church administrator for a while and who has recently left, and bless her in her next phase of life. And we pray for Elisa, who has graciously agreed to fill in for the next months. Help our church as it deals with just running itself and being able to serve even during this time of COVID, to be a beacon of light here in this community. And we pray for the refugee family that our church is intending to support, for Pascaline, Prosper, and their children. Open the necessary doors for their paperwork to come through, and we pray that they can journey to their new home in Canada soon. And as we think of refugees, Lord, we also think of those refugees that are fleeing their homes in search of better lives. And we pray for open hearts and minds to provide the necessary support, especially protect and bring relief to those that are attempting to cross the channel into the UK right now. So many lives are lost each week, Lord. Give us compassion and wisdom to deal with these challenges, and help us, Lord, to be open and provide hope to others. Lord, we pray for continued protection from COVID. We pray for Tom, who is tested positive, and we pray that you will bless him as he walks through these next weeks of quarantine. But we pray for our leaders, and we pray, Lord, that you can manage us through this crisis. We especially pray for those who lack access to vaccines and information on how to protect themselves from the virus, thinking especially of those in developing countries where the virus is spreading rapidly. Once again, our fears are raised by a new variant that was recently discovered. And Lord, help us not to respond to that automatically with defensiveness and close ourselves up, but to reach out and to work together to overcome this new challenge. Give us hope and compassion. Give us strength and fortitude to fight as a global community. And heal our land, we pray. Heal our world, we pray. God of hope, give us your peace in the week ahead. Bless us and help us to be a blessing to others. Guide us to serve and to be served. Strengthen us so that we can build others up. And we pray with expectation in the coming of our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, we have come to the conclusion of our service. Just remind you that we are not taking up an offering during this time, but we do continue to ask for your offerings electronically. If you did bring an offering of cash or check, there is a plate as you go into the foyer there, and it will be made available. You can leave your offering there. But for the rest of you, most of you are giving electronically now, and we appreciate that. We take up two offerings at this church every week. The first offering is for the ongoing work of this church, and the second is for a special cause each week. And our special cause this week is the Resonate Mission Project in the country of Nepal, a new mission project that we began with over the past year. And if you need more information about that, you can see the Resonate website or our bulletin or our website as well. The information is on all three of those. Will you stand, please? We are going to end with this benediction, and then we will have one closing song. Our benediction comes from Romans, the 15th chapter, where we read this: "Praise you all Gentiles, and let all peoples praise him. As Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. So people of God, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And all God's people said, Amen. Go in hope.
Please be seated, and let's listen as this song leads a prayer that Emmanuel, or God with us, would come to us again. The world waits for a miracle. The world longs for a little bit of hope. Oh come, Emmanuel. A child prays for the peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh come, Emmanuel. And can you hear the angels singing, glory to the light of the world, glory, the light of the world is here. The dirt breaks with the tears of a mother. A baby's cry is the sound of love. Come down, Emmanuel. Behold waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh come, Emmanuel.